He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Today I want to talk about political correctness. I wanted to ask you, do you feel pressure? Do you feel pressure to toe a certain line? And if you don't or you won't, are you hearing from your family, from your friends, from your colleagues? Are they pressuring you? Now, I got a major dose of it, you may remember, during the Baltimore riots when I was accused of not being more sympathetic with the neighborhood troublemaker who was harassing my live broadcast from the streets. Remember that?
I do. I remember that guy well. He wouldn't leave you alone. He followed you around a circle, and he was really trying to sort of poke you to get you to do something.
Well, just the other day, one well-dressed adult black businessman right here in New York. Excuse me a second. You talk.
Okay. Well, as you go and grab those throat lozenges, it's that time of year, right? You know, you got the allergies going, the colds going, everything's going around.
You know what happened? I just didn't talk to anyone all morning, so I didn't get
you
my...
were very quiet this
I
morning.
I was very quiet. I was very introspective, thinking about this thing that's been bugging me about political correctness. So the thing about Baltimore, I've gotten all kinds of reaction from it, including from my daughter at Northwestern University and Simone and Isabella here in New York. So this guy comes up to me, very well-dressed adult black businessman on West 36th Street. We had just taken, just watched Soul in a little performance at the Abington Theater. So I'm walking on West 36th Street, and the guy stops me to say, polite, how disappointed he was in me. And that that I wasn't the open-minded man that he remembered from the 1980s. I wasn't the fearless reporter who confronted the skinheads and the neo-Nazis. So I told the guy, you know, why? I totally disagree with his assessment. I said the kid in Baltimore was rude, that he was an anarchist, that what he was really looking for was attention. So the guy looks at me, starts shaking his head again, and then unconvinced, he walks off. And I was just pissed off. I mean, he, like, put a real pail over pal, you know what I mean? Like a fog.
Yeah, sure.
A dark cloud over the whole night. But the fact of the matter is that most of the comments I got on social media, particularly from younger folks, were negative. I mean, with social media, it tends to attract the negative anyway. But it was like the reaction I got to the hoodies, you know, after the death of Trayvon Martin. And I said that hoodies led to a kind of malignant stereotyping that if you dress like a thug, you're going to get treated like a thug. I also talked about the corrosive impact of hip-hop following Ferguson, the riots there in Baltimore, and about the impact of left-wing hate speech leading up to the murders of Officers Liu and Ramos and Brian Moore out in Queens. And, you know, I've just gotten a lot of really negative feedback from people who were pals of mine. You know, just talking about the current epidemic of black-on-black crime, violence, and murder. And one of my most unpopular ramblings, just to give you one other example, was when I mildly suggested that all the kumbaya over the supposedly heroic sex reassignment by Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, might be, you know, that the hoopla might be misguided or a little too trusting, given the undeniable fact that everything that the Jenners and the Kardashians have ever hatched, that clan, over the last few years have been motivated by a desire to attract maximum attention and revenue. And I, as an example, I said, remember when Kim Kardashian married the hapless pro basketball player, Chris Humphries? I mean, a schmucky guy didn't know what was going on. He got dragged into this phony wedding. The whole thing lasts 72 days. They get like six TV specials out of it. So just pointing that out to show that these are the Kardashians. Bruce Jenner is a Kardashian. So anyway, my main point is that political correctness, I'll get this out. Political correctness, usually from liberals who are supposedly more open-minded, is more intense than it's ever been. God forbid, for example, that you dare to oppose the gay mafia. I mean, the most powerful LGBTQ nonprofits. These are thought police. They purge any dissenter from the ranks of decent people. Remember they shunned those two highly regarded gay business guys who dared to host a fundraiser for Ted Cruz?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they shunned the guy, the two of them. They can't even take the ferry to Fire Island anymore. Seriously.
Really?
So even the president of the United States, he got hazed yesterday. The president of the United States, he got hazed for not working hard enough and fast enough to help undocumented immigrants who happen to be transgender. Now, who even knew that this was a problem? But anyway, here's from the White House, the president responding to the heckler yesterday. You got that, Crash? What's the breaking news? No kidding. Oh, my goodness. You hear that?
I did, yeah.
The Supreme Court of the United States has upheld 6-3. All right, go. Let me hear the report. Put it on. The Supreme Court of the United States
saying there would be no solution here.
That's right. And the White House had been saying they were very confident they would prevail here. But let me tell you, David, they were apprehensive about this. If the decision had gone the other way, it would have cut at the heart of the president's health care.
This is ABC News right now.
To Obamacare.
Chris Cuomo and Jonathan Carlos.
Hear from the president on this. I expect we'll hear from him making the point that for the second time, critics of this law have tried to challenge its legal basis at
David
the Supreme
Muir,
Court,
David
and
Muir,
for the second
Cuomo.
Time, the Supreme Court has upheld the law.
By
the
a vote of 6-3,
enough is enough.
With Chief Justice Roberts again taking the lead,
Republicans have tried to.
A healthy majority of the Supreme Court of the United States has just upheld Obamacare. They upheld the key enforcement tool used by the Obama administration.
Justice Kennedy also voting with the liberal colleagues there.
Justice Kennedy, who's been very good on gay rights issues. So the Supreme Court will be spared political correctness, that's for sure. Go back to my point. There's a slew of rulings here. So let me leave my... I'm going to take your calls on political correctness, but I think this is very important. So you have, first of all, the Supreme Court of the United States upholding the nationwide tax subsidies under the Obama healthcare overhaul. In other words, it preserves the health insurance that the Obamacare scheme is now providing to millions of Americans, and that the subsidies that almost 9 million people are currently receiving are legal. So this is the second major victory for Obamacare, and it looks like Obamacare will be the law of the land. I wonder if Republicans will insist on continuing to try to repeal it. Will they continue wasting our time over that?
Well, it wasn't even a 5-4 vote, which you might think it would be if you went along party lines, but it was a 6-3 vote.
You got Kennedy and Roberts joining the liberals, joining the four liberals. So here you have a really very, very significant win for the president of the United States. I'm glad. I mean, it would have been so disruptive. It would have been so disruptive. And let's see, what else? Divided Supreme Court embracing a broad interpretation of the civil rights allegations that can be made under the Fair Housing Act. So another liberal decision that gives people who are alleging discrimination more broad rights than they might otherwise have in terms of fair housing, you know, who can buy a house and why or why not.
This is the one, the case that involves this Texas official who is accused of violating the Fair Housing Act by awarding federal tax credits in a way that kept low-income housing out of white neighborhoods. And so that's what this case comes from.
So does that mean there'll be more affordable housing in white neighborhoods?
Well, essentially, yeah. I mean, if this was a case that involved where they essentially were trying to prove that they were being kept out of white neighborhoods, yeah, I guess you would see them more in white neighborhoods now.
The Citizens Council. Every time I see something named the Citizens Council, I think of the concerned citizens that the killer in Charleston, the League of Concerned Citizens, or what is it? It's CCC.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're calling the Supreme Court decision, this disastrous decision is a terrible attack on the rule of law because it sends the message that the rule of law does not matter, whoever, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so some perhaps predictable response, but the headline is Obamacare has just been upheld. Obamacare upheld by the Supreme Court of the United States by a 6-3 decision. Huge, just huge. So the president now, he got that free trade authorization yesterday. Obama's on a roll. Let me hear the president now. You have that crash of the president responding to the LGBTQ undocumented immigrant in the White House? Here's the president.
Okay, you know what? No. Hey, listen, you're in my house. You're not going to get a good response from me by interrupting me like this. As a general rule, I am just fine with a few hecklers, but not when I'm up in the house. You know what I mean?
I want to talk about
it. If you're eating the hors d'oeuvres, you know what I'm saying? And drinking the booze.
All right, the president really letting that one have it. He's not going to stand for it. But what about in your life? I have a lot more to say about the flag issue and how people are using and distorting the flag issue and what else they want to ban now. And we'll talk, if you want, about Obamacare, now the law of the land. We could talk about it till you're blue in the face. Nothing's going to change. It is the law and will continue to spread and will be the enduring legislative legacy of President Obama. And I think it's a good thing. But I'm sure a lot of you don't. So here's what I'm thinking. It's 25 minutes after 10 o'clock. I think, you know, first of all, you know I am in favor of gay marriage. I am against the display on public property of the Confederate battle flag, just like I'm against the display of the Nazi swastika. I worry, though, about a few things in this whole mania, this politically correct media mania that currently is prevailing. Where does it end? I mean, Leonard Skinner, now are they going to get rid of the Confederate battle flag emblem, have they?
Not that I know.
Not that you know.
We saw the local story, right? In Brooklyn, they want to rename some Confederate streets inside the military installation there. One is like,
General Robert E. Lee?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a U.S. general before he became leader of the traitor army. Anyway, the Dukes of Hazzard, you're going to take the battle flag off the General Lee, the old Dodge. I mean, the Washington Redskins, I mean, we know that we're supposed to hate that. But now, you know, there's a move afoot. I mean, maybe, Crash, you have a clip of Gone with the Wind. There's a move afoot to relegate Gone with the Wind to the garbage heap of history. Here it is.
Red, you go. Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
So no more Gone with the Wind because of its portrayal, of slavery as a relatively benign institution, which, of course, we know it wasn't. But the problem is, if you take these things too far, I mean, Gone with the Wind, you're going to really get rid of Gone with the Wind because of that? Or even on the Confederate flag issue. Yesterday, you may have heard Louis Farrakhan, you know, the militant black separatist Muslim leader. Well, he was at the Metropolitan AME Church in Washington, D.C. Yesterday. He had his own thoughts on, if you're going to ban the Confederate flag, you might as well go all the way. Here's Louis Farrakhan.
I don't know what the hell the fight is about over the Confederate flag. We need to put the American flag down because we've cut as much hell under that as the Confederate flag. What flag do the police have? What flag flies over the non-justice department? What flag flies over the White House where a black man lived that's called every day? What about that flag?
All right, that's Farrakhan. I mean, you see my point. My point is that political correctness is an epidemic of political correctness. I mean, you have Jerry Seinfeld saying he won't work on a college campus anymore. Chris Rock won't work on a college campus anymore because their tongue-in-cheek jokes that make people feel uncomfortable are no longer even acceptable. So my main point is, let's delegitimize the Confederate battle flag in deference to what happened in South Carolina. That's slaughter. I think that's a good thing. But we can't let that lead to a wholesale embrace of political correctness that makes this a very bland society, a scared society where people are afraid to speak their minds, afraid to be who they are. You know, maybe a Yankee fan won't walk in Queens for fear of being, ostracized by Met fans. But what do you think about this whole political correctness? I'd love to hear from you. 866-ERALDO, 866-437-2536. On the other side of the news break, let's have this discussion. Political correctness. Will it lead to a wholesale embrace of homogeneity or something?
Get it before you really need it. WABCRadio.com.
38 minutes after 10 o'clock. Thank you for tuning us in on this June the 25th, Thursday, June the 25th. Summer is tolling. What am I doing not outside on the beach? I don't know. Why aren't I on my boat today?
Yeah, what is wrong?
Why am I working for a living?
Not too many people to pay.
Yeah, man. But here we are. The Supreme Court dramatically upholding Obamacare today. I think that this one should be all over but the shouting now. I believe that if the Republicans insist on continuing to try to repeal Obamacare, given the Supreme Court ruling that it is constitutional now, I think it's a waste of all of our time. I hope they move on. Supreme Court likely now, I believe, given the 6-3 vote with Kennedy and Roberts siding with the liberals, I think gay marriage is pretty safe now. I think that the constitutional right to marry someone, regardless of the fact that he or she may be the same sex as you are, is now, I think, almost certain. Less certain is what they'll do on immigration reform and that very controversial executive order that the president declared only to be upheld by held up by a federal court, a Republican in the federal judiciary in Texas. But the injunction on the immigration ruling is being applied nationwide, so we'll see what the Supreme Court does on immigration. Gay marriage could come any moment. Probably not today. They've done their releases for today, I believe, but it certainly will be as soon as tomorrow. So is there too much pressure on society now, particularly from the left? You know, I don't like that left-right thing, but I do believe that liberals tend to be more judgmental than conservatives. Conservatives know that they're in the philosophical minority or they're embarrassed by their selfishness. Liberals, on the other hand, tend to tisk more than conservatives do. Here's Jan in New York City. What do you think, Jan?
Thank you very much for raising this issue. I think it's terribly important. The thing that is bothering me is that what is happening now, I don't think that's political correctness, because it used to be that we were supposed to be sensitive to other people's feelings. People are now threatening to kill you if they disagree with you. So under the guise of political correctness, what is happening is that people are being targeted for having their lives ruined if what they say is contrary to what is at the moment the popular position. So if you disagree with the majority, you can be insulted and threatened. That's not political correctness. I think we're pointing ourselves towards fascism.
Well, that's thought policing. It's certainly bullying. I appreciate the thoughtful call. Thank you very much, Jan.
Thank you.
Steve in Brooklyn, what's on your mind, buddy?
Yeah, good morning, Geraldo. I'm more troubled about this so-called fair housing discrimination than I am about everyone being entitled to health, and I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
It strikes, it's not about.
Explain it to us a little bit. Now, it as Noam reads it, I haven't read the decision yet, it's going to make it easier to put subsidized housing in more established and more affluent, that is to say, more white neighborhoods.
Well,
how do you see it?
Get ready to see your housing prices in the Upper East Side condo go down with this decision and a lot of other like us. It has nothing to do with discrimination, Geraldo. One thing we have are freedoms. One thing in the Bill of Rights is the freedom of association. If I want to live in a predominantly gay area in the Fire Island Pines, there should not be a lawsuit by someone saying, well, gee, they're disproportionately gay over there. And or if I want to live in an Orthodox Jewish neighborhood, there shouldn't be someone saying, oh, gee, well, there are too many Orthodox Jews or whatever. The freedom of association is living where you want. If I want to buy a house in a gated community, Big Brother should not say, gee, there are not so many members of this group. We have to remedy that. This is political correctness going amok, and I agree with the last caller. We're it's becoming increasingly totalitarian. We are losing our freedoms. As long as they're not a law that's saying, hey, you cannot buy here, you cannot buy here. A lot of people like to gravitate where they want. It is not discrimination. It is the freedom of association, and we have to stand up. And it doesn't matter who's delivering this edicts, whether it's the Supreme Court. It is wrong, and I fear for the future of this country.
You may be on, Steve. You may be fearful, but it is the Supreme Court, which now means it is the law of the land. The 5-4 ruling, this is the other ruling that's getting less attention, but obviously this man is in the real estate line. Federal housing law that prohibit the seemingly neutral practice that harms minorities even without proof of intentional discrimination. You now must be absolutely have hands clean when you're when you're giving out these low-income housing. And you can't award federal tax credits in a way that kept low-income housing out of white neighborhoods.
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand. Do you understand that part?
Well, I think that what they mean is, I guess someone was giving these federal tax credits to black families to encourage them to shop in black neighborhoods.
I gotcha.
Rather than giving them to black families who wanted to buy a house in white neighborhoods. So whoever the administrator of the Fair Housing Act was in Texas, that was the accusation, whether the Texas officials were violating the intent of the law and not the letter of the law by steering races to same race neighborhoods. That's the way I read it anyway. And I get what the 5-4, what the vocal minority said is, wait a second, they didn't try to screw anybody. They were still... Anyway, I don't want to overanalyze it till I really study it. I don't want to give you the wrong info. Right? Basically, is it doesn't matter if what you're doing. It matters what you think you're doing. And if you think you're discriminating, then you're discriminating. Here's Vince in New Jersey. What's up, man?
Yeah, good morning. Real quick comment on what you're talking about with the before I get into my other topic, which was the Farrakhan statement. But you know, you're saying it's law of the land, and that's it. It's over. It's not over. What Justice Roberts said is it's up to the legislature, and he's going to respect the legislative branch of the government. And, you know, I don't agree with him, but in a way I do agree with him because it's up to them to make laws, and he's not ruling on a law. So now if the Republicans have the guts to pass laws that change it, then he should have the same opinion that he has now. But getting to this whole thing with Farrakhan, you know, you said the previous
I just want to say that it doesn't matter what Congress does. They're never going to get a veto-proof majority in both houses. It's not going to happen. The president would veto it. Why waste their time? Let's solve the problems in the country. Let's get over this.
Yeah, but don't forget, this was done by one party.
I agree. I was here.
There's a lot of people that are unemployed because of Obamacare. But I want to get back to the Farrakhan thing.
Great.
And you said something to a woman previously that I couldn't disagree more. You said that the conservatives are in the minority. The conservatives are in the minority culturally with pop culture, with radio, television, but they're not in the minority with the average person. I mean, you look at even California, whether you agree with it or not, it's not the point. The point is even California voted down gay marriage. They voted against making, you know, illegals have free education and everything else. So we're not in the minority. Conservatives are certainly not in the minority. We're just treated like we're in the minority by the loudmouth left. And let's get to the loudmouth left. You know, you listen to Louis Farrakhan. Name me one person that rivals what Louis Farrakhan has said about Jews, about Christians, about white people. There's nobody out there. There's nobody that rivals Jesse Jackson. Nobody can say what these people say and get away with it. I mean, he has said the most hateful things. Last week you're talking about hate speech. Why is the media not attacking Louis Farrakhan? Like, if he was white or Jewish and he was saying those things, forget about it. There would not be a microphone in the world that he'd be condemned. There is nobody. You can even go back to that. I can't even remember his name. The guy from Louisiana that was a former KKK
David
member.
Duke.
That ran. Yeah, nobody. He never even said what Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson has said, and Al Sharpton has said, even though you like him. There is no free speech. What there is it's Big Brother. It's the left. It's not even political correct.
Okay, I got it, Vince. I got it. And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you either, brother. That's my point. So I appreciate the call. I got to go. I got to take a break. Big news out of the Supreme Court of the United States. Obamacare is legal. Those subsidies are legal. Huge win for the president. Obamacare legitimized by the Supreme Court of the United States. Remember, the president got that free trade authority from the Senate the other day. Most of the votes, ironically, coming from Republicans. But the president's on a win streak. I think gay marriage is almost inevitably next. But my concern is about political correctness. I've never seen a more vigorous attack on free speech and the flow of ideas and the kind of na-na-na-na-na that's going on now, particularly among the millennial generation. Is this Al in Morristown?
Yeah, this is Al. Two comments on the Confederate flag. One, are we headed for a slippery slope like Andrew Jackson's on the $20 bill? He was a slave owner, I believe, father of a slave child. And number two, the prices of, with all this publicity, the prices of the Confederate flag is gone through the roof, maybe up thousands of percent, and the flag makers are laughing all the way to the bank.
Well, you know, that's okay. I mean, let the fact that people are now scurrying to buy Confederate battle flags, that's kind of silly. It's kind of like, but thanks. This whole, if you deny it, then people want it more than they did, perhaps. I think it's kind of silly. It's just the way it is. But what I want to talk about, I want to talk about in a more broad sense, and I want to hear from you at 866-Geraldo. Is there more than normal? Is there a kind of feeling that everybody has to feel the same way? And if you don't, you know, then woe on to you. And I hate to say in the phrase the gay mafia, I know even saying that, but you know, I've watched as some pretty prominent gay men, particularly, but gay women also, have been absolutely ostracized by the community, by their communities, because they weren't as fervent, they weren't as pure as mainstream thought wanted them to be. And now the Confederate battle flag is gone. Do we ban that emblem from every place all the time? Is it something hated now, like a Nazi swastika? Is there a danger because of all the social media and the ability to shame? Is there a danger that the thought police are taking over? What do you think? Give me a call. We'll be back after the news.
You walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself go by.
For years in my generation, the guessing game was who is so vain that Carly Simon was speaking about them. Maybe she's 70 years old, my goodness. So it was Warren Beatty was one theory. The other was Mick Jagger. And I don't think they ever resolved it. I don't think she ever mentioned who she was.
She did, actually. 1989 interview, she acknowledged that it was Warren Beatty.
It was Warren Beatty. Mm-hmm. Ah, there you go. Carly Simon, happy birthday. I love Nantucket. It just makes me yearn to be on the water out there, a great sailing ground, especially this time of year. Fantastic. What is what? Gavat.
What does that mean?
What's that?
Where do you hear that?
I got one. It was a live performance. He was slurring. All right, we're talking about political correctness. Before we do, you have to know the President of the United States will be speaking in about 20 minutes about what for him is a huge victory. The Supreme Court of the United States upholding a central aspect of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. You know, Obamacare created those marketplaces, those exchanges to allow people to, without health insurance, to get insurance at the lowest possible price, a lot of them getting public subsidies. It was the subsidies that were upheld by the Supreme Court today. Justice Scalia went freaked out about it. He said words no longer have meaning. He just really went after the majority, but he was on the short end of a 6-3 decision. But political correctness, where are we going with this? Okay, we all want the Confederate battle flag banned from public display on public property, just like the Nazi swastika and other hateful emblems. We want them banned. 866 Geraldo, is political correctness going too far? Let's ask Ray in Queens. Ray, what are you thinking about, buddy?
Something, and I need you to listen real good.
I'm listening. I'm tuned in.
All right. I'm first generation in this country. My parents immigrated from the West Indies here. I'm 68 years old, and I listen to all of this gobbledygook, and my heart is broken for the simple fact is that if you look historically at these men who fought for the South, most of them probably didn't even own slaves. They were peasants themselves. But the other ones who were the more higher-ups might have had slaves, but they were fighting for something bigger than that. And that thing that they were fighting for might be partially slavery, but it was also the right to determine what and when they wanted to do something. Eventually, slavery should have gone. And it did go. It went by blood. Now, these men died fighting for a cause. Was it a right cause? No. But do they deserve to be desecrated? No. And my heart is so bad that I told my girlfriend, check our passport, bring it up to date, because I don't want to live in a country where you cannot honor people for doing something even though it might not be correct.
So where are you going to move, Ray? Germany? Where are you going?
Correctness.
I don't know. I think you may be overstating the dilemma there. I don't know where you would go. Where would you go? Where's freer than here?
I'm going to Australia. I would go up to Alaska, but you people probably will destroy the Bush people up in Alaska there, too.
What do you mean, my people, you people? What am I, you people? Which of my people were you referring to?
Politically correct.
Oh, I get you. Okay. All right. I wanted to make that clear.
I didn't think there's a lot of Puerto Ricans in Alaska.
Yeah. There are actually some.
Are there?
Yeah, we ran into some. And there's a synagogue, a tiny synagogue in Anchorage. Here's Rob in New Jersey. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Geraldo. How you doing today?
Good, man.
First, I wanted to say that I think you should be really proud with the way that you handled yourself in Baltimore. And I think that most of us out here really appreciate what you did for us out there.
I tried, but tell me what's on your mind specifically here.
So with this whole political correctness, I wonder, you know, when is it that the progressive thinkers become the oppressors? You know,
that's an excellent point, and that's my main point. When is it that the liberal progressive left, the expansive, open-minded, alternative-seeking left, when did they become the oppressors in terms of the rigidity of what is appropriate and what is not? I totally agree with that, Rob.
I couldn't agree more. You know, it's like we'll take the whole lesbian and gay community, right? You know, it's one thing to support that lifestyle choice and to support that community. And it's another thing then to take that support and then go after another group of people who have their own beliefs and their, you know, and maybe necessarily don't agree with that. I mean, you know, it's one thing to support somebody. It's another thing to shove your beliefs and what you think is right down somebody else's throat. And it's scary to me that, you know, the people that, you know, we used to turn to for this progressive thinking and this open-mindedness and, you know, has now become really the closed-minded ones and the ones that, you know, are trying to oppress everyone else's beliefs.
And a lot of, I totally agree with you. And my colleague at Fox News, excuse me, sorry, Bill O'Reilly had this to say. You have Bill O'Reilly from last night? Here's Bill O'Reilly. Right now.
Americans, no matter what color they are decent, fair-minded people. But there are problems in the African-American precincts, especially in the inner city. However, the problems have little to do with white people, rather a corrosive culture that does not confront child neglect and antisocial behavior on the streets. That's what's driving poverty and dysfunction. Let me give you a recent example. In Detroit, on Saturday, 12 black Americans shot at a party. 12. Did you hear anything about that? That included 3 women. One person was killed. The likely perpetrators, black gang members.
All right, O'Reilly goes on to say he can talk about those things. Why doesn't the left talk about those things? We only talk about what is politically correct. I don't think that's true. I think that O'Reilly may be overstating it. I think that we speak certainly freely about black-on-black crime and my belief that it's the civil rights issue of the era. I mean, true, it's not the majority view. My point is, live and let live. You have something to say, say it. The other side has something to say, let them say it. Don't jump all over them. Don't jump all over them. I mean, what Farrakhan said about the American flag, you know, this is really incendiary talk. But what do you expect from Farrakhan? When has he ever really made reasoned sense? He says something that has a kernel of truth in it, and he turns it into inflammatory rhetoric that, if anything, exacerbates division and hatred. It heightens contradictions. That's what he does. That's what he's a professional rabble-rouser. That's what he does. In Long Island, here's Rob. What's up, Rob? What are you thinking about?
Geraldo, good morning. Just want to comment on the recent ruling now at the Supreme Court.
Today's ruling, 6-3, yeah. Obamacare is legit. Yeah.
Well, I just want to comment. I'm doing this 26 years. This thing is a wrong design. And with the best of intentions, it's the wrong model. Quoting Roberts, Congress passed the Affordable Care Act to improve health insurance markets, not destroy them. You're seeing these takeovers now between Aetna and Cigna.
$47 million.
Well, you know what's going to happen? Higher premiums to pay for these subsidies. I'm doing the compliance for these groups over 50. If you make $50,000 a year between your FICA, state, and federal, that's 28%. Add on the 9.5% is your liability as an employee to pay for affordable health care. You took 38% of a guy's take-home pay out of his pocket, plus his life taxes, and then he's got a $6,000 deductible because the employer's going to be offering only the cheapest plans because now he's got to cover the difference of that 9.5% for everybody. And on top of that, if the employee has a wife, okay, this W-2 obligation is only for the single, not for the family. And I'm saying to you that, you know, this whole reliance on managed care corporations, multinational stock-owned companies, is not health care reform. You know what a price of a pair of tennis sneakers costs, like you know what a flat tire costs. But I'll bet you on the air, what's an EKG cost? Do you know what a price is?
No, but I know it's a lot.
It's $38, Geraldo. A lipid profile is $22. A simple office visit for a pediatrician is $60. Spirometry, a simple test to see the ejection fraction of your lung capacity, which doctors will bill if you don't know better, to get extra money, is $50, and it's not even a necessary test. There are so many things in healthcare you should not even be insured for, and it should be written back down to.
Are you an insurance agent? Is that it?
Yes, for 26 years, and I'm not like advocating because of my commission base. I knew in 1998, Geraldo, when the HMOs came to New York every year from 1992 on, when U.S. healthcare came, the prices were going up 25%, and I knew what the problems were. People should know what an endocrinologist or a neurologist's frontline stock and trade diagnostic test costs up front, EKG, maybe an MRI.
Well, they don't know because they don't pay for it, right?
Well, they don't know because the third-party payer system has veiled these codes, and we're subsidizing Medicare. The reform should be that people should know what an EKG costs, what cervical CAT scan, Geraldo, guess what it costs? Take a flying flip in the wind.
$300.
It's a good answer, $250. I got clients at one of the big hospitals in New York. They're billing $9,000.
They're billing $9,000 and it costs $250?
Yeah. I think
I want to talk to you about that's a great expose.
I needed a chest x-ray, okay? They billed $600. The reimbursement's $18. You've got disparities because the market is not exposed to these frontline speculative risks. It's a pure risk you're going to have a brain tumor, an aortic aneurysm, a double fistula. That's what you or your chemotherapy. No one should be denied for cancer treatment. But you have no incentives to get people to be proactive on their personal salvation, to know what the fees are, to say, you know what, gee, you know if I...
Rob, I like you. I like your whole tenor, your point of view.
77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
The President of the United States, in about 5 minutes, addressing the nation on his huge victory in the Supreme Court of the United States, a 6-3 majority ruling that Obamacare is constitutional, the subsidy plan to those who cannot afford insurance. That is what specifically was upheld, effectively upholding the legality of the whole scheme. Despite the fact that the Obamacare was challenged, and how many 20-odd attorneys general, state attorneys general, filed suit on this one? Here's Ernie. Ernie's calling 866-HERALDO, 866-437-2536. What are you thinking about, Ernie? Thanks for calling.
How are you doing this morning, Freddie? Well, my thinking is this.
Go ahead.
Over more than 300 recorded black people were lynched in the South under that flag. More, it's recorded, more than 300.
All right, I think it was more than that. I think it was more like more like 5,000 over the years, but go ahead.
Well, you get my point.
Yeah.
So, being that Lee relinquished his saber to Grant and surrendered, that flag has no business flying under the American flag at a state house. It's just not right.
And so, let me ask you some questions, some real flat questions, and try, Ernie, to cast your mind back to 1 month ago, or even 6 months ago, when you saw that emblem. 6 months ago, I'm not talking about in the wake of Ferguson or Baltimore or obviously Charleston, South Carolina, the church massacre. Back then, 6 months ago, what did you think when you saw it, honestly?
To be honest with you, you didn't give it much thought.
You didn't give it much thought, right.
No, you didn't even notice it, but you didn't give it. Not the thought after this horrendous murder that occurred in the black church.
So it is the church massacre that is motivating. Now you can associate this battlefield emblem with something very hateful.
Let me give you one quick point. When I was a child, I'm 70-some years old. When I was a child, we were heading south, and we stopped at a place to get something to eat and gas. My father asked the man there, can we eat in there? So the man said, well, how far are you going? They said, we told him where we were going. Yeah, it's only 100 miles down the road. You know, but I do remember seeing that flag outside. You know, but it didn't register on me. I'm a child.
So did they serve you or not?
No, they didn't serve us. He said, you go, it's 100 miles straight down the road there. Maybe you can get something to eat down there.
Despicable. You know, so where was that, Ernie?
That was in Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia.
In
Virginia, when my dad married my mom, it was illegal. Virginia was one of the last to go. But Ernie, I appreciate you calling your thoughtful reminiscence. I appreciate that. All right, let's go to Rich in White Plains. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Geraldo. So the president's going to get on the air and spike the ball again. That doesn't surprise me. Unfortunately, he won't mention the fact that not a single Republican voted for the Affordable Care Act, and he won't mention the fact that the entire duration of the Affordable Care Act never had a majority of approval in any poll, and he won't say any of that. But
I wonder, can you look up an Obamacare poll right now? I wonder what it is. My sense is that a lot of people have come around to, you know, liking the whole scheme, particularly, obviously, those who are being subsidized right now. But, Rich, I think you got to... Would you? What, let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you a question, a political question, Rich. Mm-hmm. If you were running for president right now, say you're Rand Paul, anyone you want, would you spend time trying to get, you know, rally more Republican votes on Obamacare?
You mean?
Would you keep? You know, it's going to be repealed again. Would you get involved in that action?
I wouldn't use that as a issue to get elected, but it's something I would address after I got elected.
My point is, my fear is that right now there's going to be a gigantic distraction. It's going to continue. You're going to see the same speeches on the floor of the Senate and the House of Representatives. All right, let's abolish this. It's a usurpation of constitutional rights. It's Obamacare is going to cost me a fortune, this or that, and it's still going to be the law of the land.
Here's the president from the White House on the Supreme Court ruling this morning.
We finally declared that in America, health care is not a privilege for a few, but a right for all. Over those 5 years, as we've worked to implement the Affordable Care Act, there have been successes and setbacks. The setbacks I remember clearly. But as the dust has settled, there can be no doubt that this law is working. It has changed and in some cases saved American lives. It set this country on a smarter, stronger course. And today, after more than 50 votes in Congress to repeal or weaken this law, after a presidential election based in part on preserving or repealing this law, after multiple challenges to this law before the Supreme Court, the Affordable Care Act is here to stay. This morning, the court upheld a critical part of this law, the part that's made it easier for Americans to afford health insurance regardless of where you live. If the partisan challenge to this law had succeeded, millions of Americans would have had thousands of dollars worth of tax credits taken from them. For many, insurance would have become unaffordable again. Many would have become uninsured again. Ultimately, everyone's premiums could have gone up. America would have gone backwards. And that's not what we do. That's not what America does. We move forward. So today is a victory for hardworking Americans all across this country whose lives will continue to become more secure in a changing economy because of this law. If you're a parent, you can keep your kids on your plan till they turn 26, something that has covered millions of young people so far. That's because of this law. If you're a senior or an American with a disability, this law gives you discounts on your prescriptions, something that has saved 9 million Americans an average of $1,600 so far. If you're a woman, you can't be charged more than anybody else. Even if you've had cancer or your husband had heart disease or just because you're a woman. Your insurer has to offer preventive services like mammograms. They can't place annual or lifetime caps on your care because of this law.
The president of the United States taking a victory lap.
Because of this law and because of today's decision, millions of Americans who I hear from every single day will continue to receive the tax credits that have given about 8 in 10 people who buy insurance on the new marketplaces the choice of a health care plan that costs less than $100 a month. And when it comes to pre-existing conditions, someday our grandkids will ask us if there was really a time when America discriminated against people who get sick. Because that is something this law has ended for good. That affects everybody with health insurance, not just folks who got insurance through the Affordable Care Act. All of America has protections it didn't have before. As the law's provisions have gradually taken effect, more than 16 million uninsured Americans have gained coverage so far. Nearly 1 in 3 Americans who was uninsured a few years ago is insured today. The uninsured rate in America is the lowest since we began to keep records, and that is something we can all be proud of. Meanwhile, the law has helped hold the price of health care to its
slowest growth in 50 years.
All right, the president is basically extolling the virtue of Obamacare. The most stunning thing about this is the 6-3 decision, the court moving toward the left side of the spectrum. Kennedy, Justice Kennedy joining Chief Justice Roberts, and the four traditional members of the minority wing of the court. And I think my own personal view is that gay marriage is a lead pipe cinch. I mean, they're gonna constitutionalize gay marriage. I can't see Kennedy and Roberts now jumping ship from this new progressive block that they have formed on this issue. Of course, the issues are very different, but it's just my sense. It's just my sense that this means the Supreme Court's going to be handing and I'm holding my breath and hoping, with my fingers crossed and my eyes crossed, that the trend continues through gay marriage to the executive action on immigration reform. And saying that, I know that most of you listening totally disagree with me. But as the president continues to sing the praises of Obamacare, let me take a couple of calls and then we'll dip back into the president. Here's Richard in Brooklyn. What do you think about Richard?
Hey, Aldo. Getting back to the flag. You're kind of classic as a black African American that some people, unfortunately, Caucasians, whatever, don't understand how it feels to see that flag. At the same time, I totally agree with Bill O'Reilly. And African Americans cannot continually look to the past and expect other people to look to the past and believe that somehow we're going to move forward. We got to stop looking in the rearview mirror and look forward and not continuously pick at the old scab on our body and figure out what's going on with the cancer inside of us, which is black on black crime and violence.
So, Richard, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm retired New York City police officer. I live in the city. I'm in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn right now. And I could tell you that the flag is not the issue. The issue is unemployment, poor education in the black community, and crime amongst ourselves.
What do you mean? Are you a black man, Richard?
Yes, I am.
And so when you speak of law and order and crime and punishment and what you expect people to do in terms of carrying their own weight, in Bed-Stuy, what's the reaction that you get?
Unfortunately, people are so used to the government is the answer. And I know for 100% fact that government is not the answer. The answer is exactly what Bill O'Reilly said. Strong family, education, and respect for one another. That's what builds a community.
Let me say what my son said to me, and I want, Richard, I want you to respond to this. My son said, Dad, when I made the same argument you did, I mean, almost word for word, and, having just to come out of Baltimore and et cetera, and Trayvon Martin covering that and the Ferguson situation, talking about that on TV, my son, I said, what about black family responsibility? What about isn't this the true epidemic, the violence, black-on-black crime, et cetera. And Gabriel said to me, he said, Dad, why is it that only black people have to defend their quote-unquote community? You don't talk about the white community. Why do black people have a collective responsibility about their community? How do you feel about that, Richard?
Well, the reason is because I don't see a bunch of Chinese people killing each other like black people are, unfortunately. I don't see the poor educational system that, unfortunately, the black community embraces, and certain politicians tell them, oh, no, don't go to that charter school, even though the charter school is much better. The problem, unfortunately, and everybody can see this on their TV, the problem is in the black community. I don't see this in the Italian community. And of course, we had the whole mob situation with the Italians, but at the end of the day, black people have to look at themselves and fix what's in their community, because we all know that, unfortunately, we have a unique problem. The homicide rate is through the roof in the black community, not the Chinese community, not the Guyanese community, not the white community. That is the reality.
All right, Richard, excellent call, brother. Keep the number. I'd like to talk to you again. Let's crash. Let me Let me hear another minute or so from the president.
And made a difference in the lives of millions of people. Two generations ago, we chose to end an age when Americans in their golden years didn't have the guarantee of health care. Medicare was passed, and it helped millions of people. This generation of Americans chose to finish the job, to turn the page on a past when our citizens could be denied coverage just for being sick, to close the books on a history where tens of millions of Americans had no hope of finding decent, affordable health care, had to hang their chances on fate. We chose to write a new chapter where, in a new economy, Americans are free to change their jobs or start a business, chase a new idea, raise a family, free from fear, secure in the knowledge that portable, affordable health care is there for us and always will be.
All right, the president making a very strong rallying cry for Obamacare. Now the Supreme Court of the United States has deemed it to be constitutional. Here's Will in the Bronx. Hey, Will.
Hey, how you doing, Geraldo?
Oh, good. Thanks for calling back.
It's amazing to me that this kid, this white kid, walks into this church, and it sounds like the black community is being blamed for it. You know, and let me just say one other thing. They're now pointing at the people who influenced this kid, which is the Klan and the Nazis and all of that right-wing negative racial talk that goes on in those at those kitchen tables, man, you know. And the other thing I want to say, you know, I don't think Farrakhan said anything any more inflammatory than Donald Trump did the other day about the Mexicans.
Oh, what man. Donald Trump said was a real mistake. I just I meant to tell you the Univision, which carried Miss USA, they've dumped the contest because of Trump's statements. So, and I only hope, Donald, if you're listening to me, and you know I love you, man, you made a mistake. Those comments were way too harsh. They were cruel in many ways. The generalization was way out of line. You be a man enough to apologize. I know you will be. But go ahead. We'll finish up.
Geraldo, listen, America was in the business of creating a permanent underclass, man. And then when the scales became unbalanced and one culture can determine the destiny of another, now you want to look back and point at the, you know, the one on the bottom and say they're the blame for the circumstances. They're still climbing up out of that hole, man, and they're making progress. They're making a lot of progress. Black Americans are the Americans. We're the people that fought for freedom for other people when we didn't even have it here. And let me just say one last thing. Listen, you know, the Jews have those nuclear weapons. Those weapons are not for Arabs. They're not for Chinese or black people. Those are for white people the next time they get crazy again.
I get that. Yeah. I hear that. I think that's a very that's the most profound statement I've heard all day.
Yeah.
Thank you, Will. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think he brings up an excellent point too when you're talking about this. Sometimes I think it's great that the flags are going away in the South, but it stops. What it's done is it's gotten in the way of this really uncomfortable conversation about talking about what really took place inside of that church. It was a racial crime, and we're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about a flag.
I dig that. I absolutely dig that. But I love what he said, that the Jews, that they have that bomb. It's not for the Arab. It's when the next time the white people go crazy. You know, I think there's truth in that old fella's statement right there.
77 WABC.
So we had Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana joining, what is it, a dozen and a half now? How many?
It's 13 candidates with
13 announced. Yeah. I thought there were more. And what are we hearing, Ken, our news guy coming in? What's the news?
ABC is reporting, and probably no shock to anybody, Governor Christie going to make his presidential announcement on Tuesday that he's in the race.
Tuesday, Governor Christie, you talk about long shots. I mean, Bobby Jindal, who's going to vote for Bobby Jindal? I mean, I don't know. Will the people of Louisiana vote? Louisiana's not a particularly important early state in primaries.
And he's not very popular there either.
And he's not even very popular.
Well, neither is Governor Christie, for that matter.
Governor Christie, now you're talking, I heard your reports, historic lows in terms of his popularity. I think that why people do it, expecting lightning to strike. I wonder if this Latino thing will affect Donald's early momentum. You know, he made such a big splash. Now what you're seeing is the analysis. I'm talking about Trump now. the analysis of the comment and the reaction to the reaction is what you're getting now. And I wonder if this will dull that big surge.
I ask you this question then. I'll ask you a question with a question.
You'd like.
Is that if you're, let's say, Jeb Bush, who's number one in that New Hampshire poll, the one that Donald Trump is number two in, the early primary state, how do you go on the attack against Donald Trump? Because his attacks back are so reckless, sometimes so damaging. How do you do that?
How do you go against Donald? I think with Donald, you go against him with kindness. That's the now my approach is, because I love the guy, my approach is, did you really mean to say that? I'm giving you an opportunity now, as frank as you are, as impetuous, as spontaneous as you are. You don't want to go around insulting people. You don't want to go around generalizing, stereotyping. You've been attacked so often yourself, you know, for perceived shortcomings, some real, more imagined or exaggerated. Certainly, you don't want to be guilty of what it is you criticize others for. That's the way I would do with Donald.
Couldn't Marco Rubio, though, the one of the leaders in the race, couldn't he come back and said something about that Mexican slap to come back and hit hard against Donald Trump for what he said?
I don't think he did, though.
No, nobody did. I haven't seen it anywhere. I haven't seen any Republican candidate say anything.
Univision.
I may have missed it.
First action. I think you're right.
It's interesting. I mean, that could be a real punch back if they wanted to have a punch back.
It's kind of so bad. It's too bad that, you know, that I loved his announcement. I thought it was so full of piss and vinegar. But then, you know, that line about Mexican rapists, and so it sounded so stereotyped. See ya.